So how's your day going so far? Just starting today? Okay, so are you ready to get into the questions?
Yep.
Okay, well, you guys just released Wormwood like a month ago. How do you think the reaction from both the press and the fans has been on it?
First of all, it was released in Europe on the 24th of September, and I think over in the States on the 14th of October. But I mean, the reviews so far that have been coming from Europe has been absolutely astonishing. You know, I mean, we got the album of the month in Terrorizer, which is one of the biggest magazines over here, and the same day we released the album over here, we started a European tour consisting of 30 dates, and the reaction from the crowd so far has been really, really massive. So it's great honor to feel that you have that, get that feeling, you know. So it's great way of marching across now. So fine.
Compared to your previous albums, how do you consider this one? Did you put, I mean, based on effort and on people's responses to it?
If I should compare it, it's hard for me to compare it with other albums because they all mean something very specific, you know, and I believe that all the 11 full-length albums we have done are the 11 pillars above which we stand on as a band. But I mean, I think that the new album, if I should say, is very dynamic. It's probably maybe a bit heavier and also very fast. But I don't know, it's just you put a lot of time and energy in when you're working on an album, and I never really sit down and compare with what we have done in the past. For me, I put more energy in trying to get music and lyrics to become one, that they reflect each other and kind of create a painting in your mind of what the lyrics really deal with, you know. That's
yeah.
What we work with.
So what's the overall concept of the album, you think, or if it has one?
It's not really a concept, but I would say that it's very much of a theme, and the theme also reflected in the title Wormwood, which we came up with kind of late during the recording, actually. But I mean, of course, in the Book of Revelation, the name of the star that is falling down to the earth and poisons one third of it is the name of the star is Wormwood, and of course it's a herb called Wormwood and has nothing to do with drink absinthe for sure. But also the other reaction about it is that if you translate the Russian word Chernobyl, and you know the city, what happened there,
uh-huh,
it translates to English becoming Wormwood. And when that accident happened, the nuclear disaster in 86, a lot of people in the Christian societies around the world foresaw that as the beginning of the end of the world, according to the Book of Revelation. So I think it's a very suitable title for what the whole lyrical approach of this album. It deals with, what should I say? Yeah, I think that really reflects the spirit of the album, you know, everything that is sour and morbid, you know.
So do you see that the band's ideology has been evolving since was conceived?
Of course it does. I'm 36 now. I don't think the same way I did when I was 17, but I mean, I still have the ground philosophy that I had at that time, but of course you develop as a person, you know. I don't find it that strange, but we still have the same general purpose of what we do as we always have had.
And what about musically? How do you think you've grown with the band?
Yeah, of course you do. I mean, when we work on music, we don't sit down and have a kind of agenda of how to sound or whatever. I mean, as I said before, we work with music and lyrics and try to get them to become one. I don't care if music we write is technical or not, or if it's one riff in a song. It's about creating a painting in your mind and just trying to create a certain atmosphere. That's what I think about more than anything else. And of course, you develop as a musician as well, and you do different things. But I mean, we always work on music and lyrics and just working on them, trying to create them to become a force together.
Well, has the creative process become easier over the years, you think?
I don't know if it's easier or harder. I mean, for me, it's always inspiring to work the way we do. And I mean, when I sit down, for example, work on lyrics, sometimes that creates music in my head, or the other way around. And sometimes I make a song, for example, just of having a song title in my head. I just let the energy loose and let my inspiration take me in the way it takes me, and that's the way it works.
So what do you think was different between the recording of this album to the last one?
I don't know. I mean, the last albums we have done, the last three ones, are recorded in the same studio, which is owned by our bass player, which makes it really easy. And I'm not really fond of what we have done in the past, that you travel away to another city and you live there for 2 or 3 weeks and work every day in the studio. That's not the way I like to work. But now we have the opportunity to be able to go into the studio where we're in the right mood, and we can work 3 days in a row, 24 hours a day if we want to. We can just sit down and work when we're really focused. If I want to take 4 days off, I take 4 days off, and
producer, so you're fine with the combination of your bass player, engineering, and producer?
I mean, we produce by ourselves, but we always used other studio technicians. But I mean, of course, in the future, we might work in another studio. That I don't know yet, and I'm very open to do it as well, but I don't know yet. I mean, we have completed this one. I haven't really planned for the next recording of what, and maybe we'll record some things at that studio and do maybe the mixing somewhere else. I mean, we're still going to see for the future, but I'm very open to do something different.
And what about the touring? You guys were supposed to tour in the U.S., but you had some visa issues. Can you tell more on that?
Yeah, we had massive problems for a long, long time period, and therefore we missed out on the, I think it was the second tour we missed out on doing that Blackenfest thing, and we got actually the final visa we needed when it was 3 days left of that tour, although we were promised by the embassy over here to have everything in time, but that's the way it works sometimes, and I mean, therefore we went over in August and did 3 shows just to show promoters and fans that they can't get into the country, you know, and therefore it's great that we know that it's going to come back now, you know.
And how do you see the bill for this tour? It looks pretty intense based on all the bands performing.
Yeah, I mean, it looks well, and we're very much focused and excited to finally be able to come back and do a full tour, you know.
So what about doing when you guys are touring, what's your activity of choice to be doing while traveling from city to city?
Depends on where you are, and you're so used to it, I am particularly not very fond of traveling so much, but I mean, I think that it's worth to do every sacrifice in the world to be able to play everywhere. I mean, I enjoy and believe in the power of my music, that I want to be able to perform in whatever, if it's so North Dakota or if it's Venezuela. I believe that's the opportunity I have and something that I need to do to be able to spread our gospel, to play live as much as possible and reach all the areas we can. And I mean, touring, you know, is the usual thing. You travel a lot, and what do you do? You just travel until you get to the show. I'm just focusing to get to the place and be able to play live, spread the message.
Do you come up with song ideas, or how do you spend your time on the tour bus? Sleeping?
Sometimes, yeah, sleeping, not really, but I mean, I don't. What do you do? The usual shit. You watch movies, you read a lot. I read a lot, at least when I'm out on tour, and usual things. I don't know.
It's Marduk a rehearsing band, or is it like all the bands are currently just everybody sitting at home sending files over the internet?
Yeah, not really. I mean, we used to be even more rehearsed band when we all lived in the same city, but now we kind of spread out. None of us live in the same city, but we have, if I just say our headquarters over here, we have our rehearsal room in the town where I live, and we used to rehearse kind of 2-3 days a week in the past, but now we might maybe rehearse more intense when we going away on tours, and sometimes we might not rehearse for the weeks, and then we rehearse for a week in a row, you know, when things are coming up. But we all play by ourselves at home, so we're all very well focused, so it's everybody knows their thing, so it's not a problem.
So it's Marduk your full-time activity, or do you...
Yes, it's been for 10 years, I think.
And do you have any other side projects going on now?
Not really. I mean, I did some albums with a band called Devil's Whorehouse, which is kind of more of a more regular metal, hard rock orientated kind of dancing style music.
Mm-hmm.
And apart from that, no, I don't really have the time for anything else because it takes its time. And I'm also running a bit of a label called Blood Up Productions, which of course do the Marduk albums through again. And we're working on signing some other bands, so I'm fully occupied right now.
Will there ever be another Abrupt Doom album, you think?
Maybe.
On the fine, okay. So what about, have you guys thought about ever changing or experimenting with different musical styles other than black metal?
I don't know. I feel fully focused on what we do, and I'd rather be kind of a motorhead of black metal and do what we do instead of trying to be different just for the sake of being different, you know. I mean, I believe in the power of our music, and I just let my energy flow, and usually it turns out within the frames of what we do, you know. And if I wanted to do something really different, I would do it in a side project, because I kind of feel a bit, I don't know, you know, you wouldn't want to do anything really strange under the moniker of Marduk, because I know what we do, and we all know, and we all share our devotion and loyalty, so we know what to do with the band, and I don't really have any desire to do anything else. This is what I burn to do.
So, have you ever thought, did you ever thought that Marduk was going to take you to all the places that's taken you so far?
I mean, kind of early realized that, but when you started the band, I don't really exactly know what we thought about those things when it comes to touring, but I meant I already felt the power of what we were doing, and I know that I wanted to take it as long as you can to step ahead, you know, and do something, you know, because I believe so strongly in the music and the message, so why not? It takes you in the way it takes you, just ride the wings of death.
Okay, so you've been involved in the black metal scene since the beginning, but so far you never been controversial as other people. What is your take on that? Why?
I don't need to be controversial just to get media exposure. I believe in the power of my music, and that's fine with me.
And what do you think about bands that they're more publicity than substance, musical substance?
I mean, I don't really read as many music magazines, but I mean, people can do what they want. I don't really care at all, because I know what we are doing, and that's what I'm focusing about and what matters to me, and I believe in that, and that's fine with me.
So out of all your touring experiences, have you ever had any interesting stories?
Oh, it's hard to pick out something specific. I mean, every tour has their highlights and strange happenings, you know. I don't know. I cannot think of anything really specific right now, but I mean, there's always crazy things going on being on tour, you know.
Now, how about when you tour South America, which country do you think has some of the most intense crowds?
I think they all have down there. It doesn't really matter. It's like one big country when it comes to that. I mean, playing for me, playing in Venezuela, El Salvador, Ecuador, and Brazil, you know, it's as powerful as it can be. They have such a strong scene with so many devoted people that are so loyal to it, you know, and just a great feeling to be able to play in front of those maniacs down there.
And what about in the U.S.?
I mean, the last time we toured there, a proper tour was with Deicide 2001, so it's some time ago, you know, but I mean, I got a good taste of it when we were over there now in August and did 3 shows, so we were excited to be back and, you know, march across the country and meet and play in front of all the crazy male audience over there as well, you know.
So is your can you tell us a little bit more about your set list for the upcoming tour?
What we're gonna do is try to play, of course, a few songs from the new album. I don't know how many, maybe 3, 4, 5. I don't know. We haven't decided yet because we're rehearsing right now, and also going to try to play something from more or less every album because we haven't been there in a long time. So I feel it's like the right thing to do is to try to cover as many albums as possible to get the full picture of it.
Okay, so have you guys started thinking about the next album? I know it's kind of early, but...
Yeah, we have. I mean, it's not like we have a title or songs completed, but I mean, I've already been recording a lot of riffs and ideas, and I'm working on lyrics as well, so, and I know our vocalist Morten did as well, so we're already working on it, and when we get back up to the touring cycle, everything will flow together, but I'm really excited to do the touring cycle with this album, and also I'm really excited to get back home and start to work on the next album. I think it will not take too long time before we're back working on it, you know. Because I'm in a really inspirated mood right now, so that's just good.
So are you guys confirmed for any of the for more summer festivals?
Yeah, we haven't booked any yet, you know. We got some offers, I know, through our booking agency, but I don't know exactly yet, but for sure there are a good selection of summer festivals as well.
And how do you feel the support for Regain? Do you think it's appropriate enough for the size of the band?
Yeah, I mean, I believe in it, because I've been working with them more soon for 10 years, and I mean, of course, you could always be on a bigger label, but I prefer to have the freedom to work with a smaller one, that you have a mutual agreement between it, you know, how things work, and yeah, I believe it's not such a big label, but I prefer to work on a smaller one, because you get more attention, and it's more of a relaxed way to work.
So you have more creative control over your...
Yeah, that's the most important thing. I would never sign to a label where we don't have full control over what we do. That would never happen.
So that's...
The bigger labels have the way to interfere with everything, and I don't like that.
Oh, okay. So your music is basically more important than the financial success of the band?
Yeah, of course, but I mean, that is equally important, but I mean, to be able to do what you do, you need to work in the way you want to, otherwise I would do something completely different. I would never work with a label that would interfere whatever, from artwork to lyrics to whatever, or a label is there to take care of when we have done the production. match and they get it, then they should do their job after that and not interfere with what we are doing. That's the most important thing.
Well, how do you feel about how censorship has been changing over the last year since you guys first released your demo with the extremely explicit cover?
Yeah, we had some fair share of problems because of all kinds of reasons during the years, and we still have, and I don't really care about it. I mean, if people want to fuck with us, it's fine, we'll fuck them back, you know, but I mean, so far we have always been successful and we're still here, and a lot of those people that try to censor, they are gone, you know. I believe in what we do, and that's it.
So have you felt that it's been loosening up recently, or do you think it's still in the same place?
It's still the same. Some things are really pathetic when it comes to censorship, but it will always be idiots out there, so what can you do? Just march ahead and march all over them, you know.
And what's your thoughts about the current state of the music business when releasing albums in the traditional way? It's not as profitable as before.
Probably it is, but it probably isn't, but I mean, I still think that extreme metal has not been as affected as maybe other music, because I think that people into this thing believe in owning albums and supporting the bands they like. That's anyway the way I am. If I like a band, I'll buy the albums, because I want to support bands that I like, you know. So, but I mean, of course, a lot of people download or whatever, you see it all the time, but I mean, maybe if they do it that way, anyway, they come and support the shows. I mean, you cannot stop it. It still affects all the downloading and things, but you just have to adjust to it. I mean, you cannot stop it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So if you don't have strong opinions about exterminating all the people that download like other musicians do?
I don't know. I mean, I also believe it's a good way that you get to spread your music, but I still consider it theft. It would be like going into a store and just open up a package and start to eat food and say, oh, I only want the food, I don't want the package. So same thing, but I mean, it's already here, and I mean, for me, it's hard to understand it, because I come from a generation of buying music, and I mean,
yeah.
I believe in buying music, and I want to own the albums, I want to have the final versions of it, you know.
Yeah, that is
true. I also understand younger people that never have that tradition that they download, but I mean, maybe they support the music in other ways, so, and still you get to spread your music, but I mean, it's still best, and I'm not a big supporter of downloading music, I don't really download music myself either, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like, even for example, when an album's coming out, like the New Slayer, so when I was on tour, some people already downloaded it. I don't want to hear it. I want to hear it when I come home and hear the final version, you know.
Yeah, that is
true.
That's
one thing that annoys me more than the downloading itself, is when you work so much to get a new album done, and as soon as it goes to the pressing, it leaks out, so people have it like 3 months before it's supposed to come out. Even though if they chose to download it, I would have preferred that they download it the day it came out, so you get the powerful of it. Day it comes out, you know, but now it's like a new app. When you ask your friend, like, oh, the new Slayer's coming out, oh, I already had it for a month, you know, I downloaded it, it's like, okay.
Yeah, you kind of.
Take away a bit of the power.
Yeah, you lose the expectation and the build-up of the release date.
That's why I found it really boring.
So what about one of our final questions, I guess. What if you guys had a limited budget to set up a stage for any live show, what would you guys use?
I don't know, it would sure be something special, but I cannot think of anything right now, but I mean, I don't have to think about that, there's a lot of things you could do. But I still believe that the power of the music also is very much enough.
Yeah, so what do you think about bands that go to stage gimmicks to get more a direct response for the audience? Do you think that
I don't know, I don't mind. Some people have the concept and their ideas of what to do, it's fine with me, but I know what we are doing, you know, and as I said before, that doesn't matter to us. People can do what they want, I don't care.
Yeah. So you would never use something like, for example, Gargoth did on their controversial DVD?
No, I don't know, I don't mind it, but I mean, I already see that if you focus on the four musicians being on stage, performing and spreading the message, you know, that's also enough.
So what about the music that you're currently listening to, any bands, relatively unknown bands that you think?
There's a lot of bands, for example, there's a band from Sweden called Offermore that just some time ago released a really good album, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I also listen a lot to Infernal War, a band from Poland, but it's really good. And I listen to so much, I mean, I cannot even remember, I listen to a lot of industrial music as well, you know, just like the latest Folkstorm album, the Swedish band, and and the new Ardipi stuff, a band that we worked together a bit in the past. I like a lot of this heavy, dark industrial music, but I mean, I listen to everything from old, you know, hard rock from the 70s up to extreme metal of today, and classical music, you know, industrial music. I mean, I only consider it good or bad music, you know. I like music to creep out of my skin and also paint a picture in my mind, you know.
So that's what you basically set out to do every time you record Marduk albums?
Yeah, because I know when we have everything more or less settled, we go into the studio and just nail it, because we already have a strong vision of what we do, you know, and just let the music do its talking.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good ending note. Anything else you want to add for our readers?
I would just like to send a big regard, and we hope to see them all when we come marching across the country.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.